For over 30 years, the University of Arkansas School of Law has had the only graduate agriculture and food law program in the nation. And until now, there has not been a program in the nation that focuses on tribal food systems, agriculture, and sustainability issues. Last month, the U of A Law School launched the Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative. This initiative is led by two Native American women and lawyers. Dean of the School of Law, Stacy Leeds, is the only Native American law school dean in the country. She is joined by Janie Sims Hipp, graduate of the U of A Law School's Agriculture LLM program. She leaves her post as Senior Advisor for Tribal Relations at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Dean Leeds and Ms. Hipp recently stopped by the KUAF studios. Hipp began our conversation by explaining the need for such an initiative, stating that there are 566 federally recognized tribes in the U.S. at various locations all around the country, with 220 in Alaska alone. Many of those tribes have had long-term food and agribusiness interests, but there is a growing number of tribes who are investing in food and agribusinesses or ramping up the ones they already have, as well as starting new. Here's Hipp.
And so the need for really an intense approach to strategic business planning, the governance structures around those tribal food and ag businesses, just that whole body of technical assistance and strategic thought, and then implementation around governance and building out the professionals within Indian country writ large, who have those skills around sustainable, long-term health and growth in the food sector. That's where the needs truly are.
So you mentioned that there's kind of a recent increase in tribal interest in food business. What are the reasons for this recent increase? I know there's also more focused interest on local foods and, the small farmer as opposed to the large farmer, just kind of nationally as well as locally. Is that one of the reasons why there's this recent increase?
It is. Tribal communities have the same needs and wants as any other local community. And so just as the local food movement has taken on across the United States, it's happening within tribal communities as well. But the other thing at play is that tribal governments are really coming into their own in a way where they have the infrastructure and the education and the capacity to govern themselves at the local level. And so tribes have spent the last few decades basically reestablishing their governance structures. So this is the next step that we see emerging in Indian country. Tribes are looking for various ways to diversify their economies. They're becoming more and more global players in terms of marketplace. And it's a pretty special time where we thought this initiative would be ideal to help.
I've heard you use the term business and economy and economic, and then also agriculture. So how does this fit into the law school as opposed to maybe the business school or the agriculture school?
One of the first decisions you need to make as an agricultural producer, or if you're thinking of having, say, a value-added, local regional food business, is what kind of business structure do you conduct your business within? Is it an LLC? Is it a corporation? Are you a member of a cooperative? All of those are legal structures. And so understanding the differences between those legal structures allows you to think about your business entity in a very deliberate way. And so understanding how the tribal governance piece intersects with the business entity decision-making process, and then how do you fill out the other needs for business-related skills, which all weave in and out of legal issues all the time. But there's a growing number of tribes are in export markets, which is a whole nother level of legal issues that tribes need to think about.
I mean, exporting just from state to state?
There are tribes that export their food products to Asia, to Japan, to China, to all over the Pacific Rim. There are tribes that export their food products into Europe already. And so it's very, very exciting, lots of opportunities.
And what I was going to add is the very nature of food and agriculture is probably one of the most interdisciplinary areas that we would have at the University of Arkansas across the campus. But particularly when you deal with tribes, the legal complexities touch everything that a tribe could possibly do. And to give you an example of that, to build on what Janie said, tribes are still very natural resource rich and predominantly land-based. And at present, when an Indian farmer wants to go out and make use of their land, because of the federal laws tied up with tribal land, it's not as simple as that farmer having complete control over their land. And so federal law comes into play, tribal law comes into play, and in some situations, you have all three sovereigns with the ability to regulate something to do with that land. And so it's just one of those examples where programs that we could provide as an educational opportunity for our law students, be they in our JD program or the LLM, it presents one of the more complex legal structures that we could expose them to.
Okay. Well, you've done a pretty good job of telling me how it fits in to the law school. And you did mention that the University of Arkansas Law School has one of the oldest Agri LLM programs, right?
The only.
The only agriculture. Okay, pardon me. Thank you. So that kind of answers my next question. But you mentioned earlier that over 200 of the nation's tribes live in Alaska. And so here we are, really, really, really far away from Alaska. The other 300 tribes are just kind of scattered across the rest of the United States. So how does this fit into the University of Arkansas?
Well, one of the ways it fits in very, very well is that we sit right next to Oklahoma, which has over 30 federally recognized tribes. And so there are a lot of Native students who already come to the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville, for their bachelor's, master's, PhD work already. And obviously that, you know, this university has had a long connection with the tribes in Oklahoma anyway. You know, during Arkansas Territory time period, way before any of us were born. but many of the removed tribes from the southeast actually found their home within Arkansas during Arkansas Territory days before final removal into what would eventually become Oklahoma. And so this campus has a long connection with all of the tribes in Oklahoma. And so, but the connection that you can make with, you know, all the Alaska tribes is very easy to do with distance education. A lot of the tribes that live very remotely, but they also have an infrastructure of distance capacities, distance learning. There are even some tribes in very remote villages there who have their pharmaceuticals delivered electronically.
Okay.
Which is pretty amazing.
Well, I wanted to ask about field trips to Alaska. But
And I think 2 points that I would add to that. I really view this region of the country as Northwest Arkansas and Northeastern Oklahoma as economic partners together. The other point is that, you know, University of Arkansas has been known across the globe because of Senator Fulbright and others as being a place that we train our students for their success throughout the world. And, you know, we certainly can do that through a number of international initiatives. But here's a way to expose our students, particularly the law students, to something similar to an international market. They're going to interact with a different sovereign that has a different set of rules. And we can replicate that with our interactions with a tribe with an hour or two drive into Arkansas, as opposed to a 6-week study abroad somewhere. And so I really just see it part of our, you know, entire international mission.
What is the first thing that you'd like to accomplish?
Well, something that's happened even in the first 24 to 48 hours after we made this announcement, at this point, we've had the luxury of not having to pick up the phone and build those bridges, but there's so much excitement in Indian country about this project that tribes and organizations and entities across the country have been calling us saying, how can we partner? How can we have you be a part of our initiative? So deciding up front exactly what our priorities of partnership will be the early legwork, because the opportunities are just endless.
There might be too many.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that was going to be a question, too. What kind of response have you seen from the tribal community? But it sounds like it's pretty good and supportive.
It is. Yeah. And it's such a hot topic right now.
Well, in fact, I was on the phone right before we left to come here with the Center for Native American Youth, the national FFA organization. They were meeting together for the first time, and I was talking with them because youth are a huge piece of both of their efforts to build the next generation of leaders.
And a couple of inquiries that I've received in the last few days take us in a slightly different direction, but certainly within the realm of things that we would consider working on. There's the tribal business piece of this, but there's also the traditional indigenous knowledge about seeds and plant life and environmental issues. And, there's already been some requests of, can you help X community put a plan together for how they can disseminate knowledge that they might not want to share in the public immediately, but how to manage that intellectual property. Then there's intrinsically legal issues tied up with all of that as well.
All right. What else, ladies? Anything?
The only other thing that I think that we've missed out of talking about is food and ag necessarily ties to nutrition and health and wellness.
Yep.
And another reason of why this, why now, is just like there's obesity and diabetes epidemic across the country nationally, it particularly hits hard in Indian country. And so both of our careers have seen communities that are just devastated because of lack of good food in the community, lack of accessible and affordable good foods in the community. And it certainly would be remiss if we didn't talk about nutrition and what the potential health impacts of a fully well-developed plan of food and agriculture in a community could be.
Okay.
But the food and nutrition piece, the nutrition and healthy eating, is very much on folks' minds when you're dealing with diabetes at the highest levels that it is within Native populations. Then you have to, by definition, think about what it is we're eating and how do we improve that. And so it all comes back into what we're doing here, I think.
Mm-hmm. And it is just like everywhere else or any other community. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Okay.
Thanks.
Stacy Leeds is dean of the U of A Law School. Janie Sims Hip is heading up the tribal initiative. They recently joined me at the KUAF studios.